Hello, and welcome to the Table and Well podcast. I'm Tennyson.
And I'm Janelle. Thank you for joining us as we discuss topics and give practical tools that help you live, grow, and be in healthy, joy-filled relationship with God, yourself, and others.
For more information and resources, or if you're looking for coaching, connection, and community, please visit tableandwellco.com. We hope you enjoy this podcast. Hello, and thank you for joining us today on the Table and Well podcast. This is episode number 24 of season 2, Stories from the Table. And as always, guys, please feel free to download and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite listening platform. I mean, if you enjoy listening or watching us on YouTube, you can do that as well at our YouTube channel, which is Table and Well Co. So today on the podcast, we're going to be concluding our conversation with Jessica. And if you have not listened to the previous 3 podcasts with her in our conversation, I really encourage you to go back and do that. We've covered a lot of ground and we talked about a lot of different subjects and topics, and it's been really, really good. And today we are going to be continuing that conversation. And really what we're going to talk about is how do we go from strangers to belonging at our table? And it's really interesting how we talk about it because, you know, even though that is our desired outcome and is our result of the table is for safety and belonging and connection, that's really not our hardest for them to be connected to the table per se, or connected to Table and Well per se, but really our heart is for them to be connected to God's family and be connected at his table, and understanding that we are part of the larger family of God, and what we are experiencing and what we are teaching and showing around our table is something that we can carry on into the larger family of God and really into every aspect of our life. And so I just think this conversation is a really important conversation to have because it's not just centered around one place, but it's about God and his kingdom and his family. So listen in, guys, as we conclude this conversation with Jessica and we hear her story from the table.
I know that feels really risky to me too. And yet the Lord just meets everyone right in the middle of that, which he is like, so fun.
It always happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's that household of faith stuff. Like him being there to connect that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause really everybody's heart is, what's he saying?
Yes.
What does he want this person to know? Not what do I need this person to know? Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and what do I need back from this person too? Right. Like the person offering what they heard isn't needing that person's approval either. Like there's no exchange of performance here because there's no tier to move up.
Right.
Like, and we all sit together.
Right. And I think it also what this does too, it alleviates the propensity we have to fix things because we're uncomfortable with how it made me feel. So like if someone comes in not feeling happy and they're heavy, I know. And the people around the table know that I'm not here to fix what's happening here. I'm just here to listen on your behalf and just let you know what I feel the Lord is saying for you in this moment.
And to be present
with you in your pain.
Yeah.
And so it takes the pressure off of trying to fix the problem or getting it right.
Because making it better.
Which comes back to household and household of community and trust, and like they know because they've been here before, they know that they'll be here next time, they know like what you two have spoken as leaders over this group, saying like we have permission to be human here, and that's why like that long-term household is so important. You still belong here even if you mess up.
Oh, that's huge.
And even so interesting that like again they were new people. It's not like they had like, oh, we've belonged here together forever. And so like, we know what that's like to have messed up and not be kicked out or whatever the scenario is. But back to the statement that you made earlier, and you talked about how the household really is the household of God.
Yeah.
And how it's so much bigger to where, even though this is done in our home and it is down to the, like the practical tangible of like, I can hold the table and eat the egg bake.
Right.
You know, it's the bowl of soup, but it's also this understanding of, when I come to this table, I'm not meeting with strangers. I am meeting with others from my household.
Yeah. That's an understanding that like maybe we take for granted in Christianity. Cause that's what other people might not have, but we know that in Jesus, we're all brothers and sisters.
Yes.
That's a big one.
But where do we really experience
that? And that was kind of my question. It's like, where, like other than other gatherings like this or that you've been a part of, that you are a part of, it's like, where do you really get to practice that and practice being a household to where you might walk into a situation and in your mind, it's like, yeah, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ because, you know, but is it acted out? Is it lived out in the moment, in the play, in the whatever the gathering may be? Like, I don't know about a lot of other places. Again, not to say we have the corner on anything, but.
Because he's actually doing this.
He's doing it all over the world.
We get reports on it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a question like for you guys. I think it's like what you're asking. Yeah. Like, but to continue this conversation is, what's the difference or how do you interact at the table or like what happens here on Sundays with someone who just comes a couple weeks versus someone who's been here for 2 years? And I'll tell you, as someone who's only been a handful of times, I'm always like, oh, y'all don't all know each other. Y'all seem like best friends. Or, you know, like you seem like you have those really deep relationships. Yeah. How have you guys carried that as like table's gotten to be like 2 years old? I think there's a group of people that's been here. Has there been people that have been here the whole time? Kind of like come and go?
No.
There hasn't been anyone here the whole time. I think the longest we've got some people that have been here about 9 months. That's the longest that they've been here. No, it's just we've always believed that we are community, that we are, that we need community. Like I need you for me to be fully who God designed me to be, that interdependence.
Right.
And so when people come in, we just want to create a space where they are seen, they're known, they're heard, that they feel like they belong. Mm-hmm. They do belong.
Yeah.
And so we don't act any differently with someone who's been here for the first time or been here for 9 months, and what we do or what we say or how we even interact with them.
Engage. And I think it creates a whole atmosphere of that, of like, oh, you don't have to prove yourself to me or whatever those silly things are that we create to say, I feel safe with you, or I feel that I can trust you. It's like, that's an understood that when you bring yourself to the table, that's what the table means.
Yes.
It means safety. It means trust. It means we belong together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even understanding the longer table of we all have a seat at his table.
His table. Yeah.
So when whether you walk into our home and you pull up a chair or whether I walk into your home and pull up a chair, like it's his table anyway.
Wow.
So when we understand that, it's not we have no need, and we wonder and stay curious with the Lord about this too. Because we're not typical in the way that we need to collect people. Like a lot of times communities start and there's this need to like, okay, are we something? Like,
are we
going to like, where's our covenant together? And I think there's a time and a space.
Yes.
I'm not discrediting that at all, but it's like, and I don't know if it's all of our years of fostering because we've wondered this where we have lived a lifetime. Part of the call in our life has been to invite strangers to our table. And we've done that over and over and over again, whether that's through probably thousands of times at this point, whether that's through foster care or whether that's through Airbnb guests who then become family because they've been here 2 months and we're celebrating their unexpected pregnancy or, you know, whatever, we're grieving their loss or lots of stories. But we have this sense of understanding that the bigger picture isn't table and well. Like we don't need anyone to belong to table and well. Like, we are one small piece of the pie. We're doing what the Lord's asking us to do. We're creating invitation, but other people create invitation. If the bigger picture is his table, then the invitation is standing and it's ever present and it's everywhere we go. Like you said, like I bring it with me because I have never because you were taught that, but because you have this deep understanding of like, oh, this is a global invitation. This is an invitation to Tennyson and Janelle's to Tennyson and Janelle's table. Like, and so even with that, like we can celebrate whether people come or whether they go, you know, and we really believe part of the beauty of the table is that it is different people. The story is constantly being woven, that the diversity continues and that the river continues to flow. Like, I think there is high value for a community, like a tight knit, for an intentional household, right? Where it's like, we are people that belong together and there's some intentional interlayering together, which at this point has to be intentional, but you think of like that frontier town, or you think of the household that he might be referring to culturally back when. There's some beauty in knowing like we are each other's people.
Yeah.
But then there's the bigger picture too.
Well, we,
and so I think we currently hold that bigger picture.
Yeah, because there's an understanding. I was thinking back to like about the Dr. Clemente's woman, which I always get caught up in. I don't ever really want to watch it, but I walk in the room and it's on and I'm like,
he's like, oh, what's happening?
What's happening now?
It's the like classic dad thing. You're like back of the couch.
Yeah. You're like, and then, like, and then I'm like, and then, on the couch. Right. And then I'm interjecting things. Cause like, whatever, but I don't care about it. But,
right.
But like, you know, they, when they introduce new characters and new people come into the town, you know, it's like the town comes around them. And even though they weren't there when the town was settled or they hadn't been there the longest, they're still part of the community, whether they're going to stay or whether they're going to go. But they come in and they're treated as community. They act as community for the time that they're there. But then if they're just kind of passing through, it's a stopping space for whatever, then they cheer them on their way and they go on. And it's that same idea here that, that come be a part of for as long or as little. And we want to be able
whether we're a stop on your journey or you're going to decide to like, this is your new, your place, new place to dwell.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But while you're here, you belong, you're safe, you're seen, you're known, you're heard, you're loved. And then.
Yeah. And I think it is that deep understanding back to the foster care reference is that like the funny story is we went into foster care planning to adopt. That was our sole intention. Like we never intended on actually fostering. Like it was the vehicle to get to our goal of adoption. And in the midst of that, the Lord taught us so much about like, I am a mother, therefore I can mother you. Whether I'm your mother for the rest of your life or not, should not diminish this window of mothering I have with you and the space I can create for you. And we even got to see our very first foster son that we had when he was 2, and he's now just about to turn 18, 16 years time. And to sit across a table from him and to see the attachment, the secure attachment he has to us, which I don't know how much you know about attachment theory, but like long before his brain was even developed enough to know what was happening in my heart pouring out to him, like his heart is forever tied to me.
Yeah.
Not because I'm his biological mother, but because I mothered him in his season of need. And so now he carries that with him. And back to your generational conversation, it's that tie of love. Like he has love that he received that he can now carry with him. And to see that 16 years later, sitting across the table to have that resonance between two people
and what,
is like mind blowing that yes, I have wrestled with the Lord for a long time. Why couldn't he stay? Why couldn't he stay? But could it be that part of the beauty of his story is that he didn't? Part of the beauty of our story is that he didn't.
I think like what you were just saying about like you being a mother is not based on like him being there, but on your own identity, like what you're able to give him, reminded me of this quote that's attributed to C.S. Lewis, which is that love is never wasted because its value doesn't rest on its reciprocity.
Wow.
It's not about whether it's given back, and love's not a transaction.
Yes.
But, and like you get to live that. That's what exactly what you're describing.
Yeah.
And I think too, descriptor of our God, because it's something you guys practice so well at table is like an understanding of like Trinitarian love. And that like, it doesn't have to just be between me and you like supporting each other, but like I can like see other people supporting each other. And that's again, super deep. Maybe we talked about it on the podcast. I hope.
Yes, maybe not in that terminology, but
I wouldn't have even used that, but that's beautiful. Yeah, but
it's the idea of like you experiencing what happened between those two ladies at the table.
Yes.
Has impacted you in a way that wouldn't have happened if you hadn't experienced that. You received from that interaction.
Yeah.
But also watching this beauty
so like
God, ourselves, and others.
Your foster son in that, like you had received from God love and the nurturing love of like motherhood that God also gives us is like, he had given that to you and you're able to give that to your foster son. And then it wasn't like, oh no, like why wasn't he always there for me? Or like, you had you yeah. still had that because you were receiving yes. that. And that's like also what we carry unique in our, it's what we, who our God is. And it's yeah. like incredible.
Yeah. yeah.
So again, all of that for that yeah. global, eternal invitation.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, we're just a table and he glorifies.
Yeah.
He has, by being incarnated, he makes it all important.
Yeah.
yeah.
But it also is big and it also is eternal.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
both.
Yeah. And it is that thought of like, if my goal in my relationships and my understanding of interdependence isn't mm-hmm. just a like reciprocity of I give and receive from the exact same mm-hmm. person, the exact same thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, oh, I'm going to give financially. And so I expect to be financially blessed back by you. But like, yeah. I have something to give you. You have something to give the world.
Right.
Yes.
Whether I get to be the direct receiver of that again or not, doesn't,
yeah.
isn't the equation that I yeah. should be concerned about. And it is, no. and it's so beautiful. And we do see that at the mm-hmm. table of like, mm-hmm. my gift to you is me being me.
Yes.
And now you go be you in whatever yeah. capacity that is that the Lord's asking you and go bring yeah. your gift to the world.
Mm-hmm.
I may get a piece of that gift
yeah.
and I'm grateful, but that's not my ultimate goal of coming to the table. And I think that's so true. Yeah. I hadn't really thought about that, but it, and I think that's really interesting actually about the whole community aspect and your question about belonging and what do we see when people sit longer or like
yeah.
the coming to stay or whatever, like people aren't coming to this table because they're coming and they're like, and now this community needs to give me something back.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're coming and mm-hmm. bringing them their full selves and they also receive, but then they also take mm-hmm. and go with
yeah.
it. Like
yeah.
it's not becoming this insular, like we're just going to mm-hmm. keep feeding into the same pond and fishing out of the same pond.
Wow. Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. yeah. There's something so much bigger about yeah. it that I hadn't really
well, yeah.
had words for.
No, that's great. That's awesome. It's full circle to one thing that I was saying in the beginning of like part, I was just really from the part of this is for part of what happens here is for the world.
Yeah.
It's for your world that you're a part of that you can bring those questions of, hey, what do you need? What can I do for you?
Mm-hmm.
And seeing how that affects and how that changes is that lineage of love that happens in that. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. And I can't be fully me if I also am not a part of that somewhere, you know, where people are also, and the Lord is pouring into me
mm-hmm.
and I can't be fully me. And that may not be you pouring into me. And so that's why it's also important that we're a part of community and we don't get stuck in this one-on-one
yep.
exchange. Like mm-hmm. we talked about in the beginning about even in marriage of, mm-hmm. well, you just pour everything into me and I just pour everything into you. And like, and the Lord, like, you know,
and
the three of us together are going to be like all that's needed. And it's just mm-hmm. not true. Like without you in my life,
yes.
in some capacity, I wouldn't be who I am today. And mm-hmm. if we can realize that that is the gift.
Yeah.
That's the gift of household. That's the gift of community. That's the gift of just interacting and caring well for one another, that we all win.
Mm-hmm.
We all win.
You've been listening to the Table and Well podcast. New episodes stream every Tuesday. To begin your journey to relational health, go to tableandwell.org/IRH to join our Intro to Relational Health Lab. This is our free 4-week mini course where you will learn skills and practices that will transform the way you do relationships. For more information or additional resources, please go to tableandwell.org.